Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Gives to those that He wants to give. We don't have to busy ourselves trying to get and gain. Scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. What things? Well, He said they seek after clothes and everything, the practical things of life, the daily things, a living. They seek after it. He says, hey, look, you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and I'll give you everything you need. When we can learn to do that, it'll change our life. It'll change our priorities. It'll cause our lives to become powerful for the glory of God.
God announced the Messiah's birth to some random shepherds. Don't get so familiar with the Christmas story that it fails to impress you. In today's message, Pastor Troy reminds us of the whole point of Christmas. If you're available like the shepherds, God will reveal great and mighty things to you, too. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and also a couple of books to your left, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. We'll be in both of those today. Why are we here on Christmas? It's a good question to ask because we look strange to the world. Like, are you guys so hooked on church that you can't not go because it's Sunday? It's a holiday. Surely God will understand. And surely He would understand. Because it's not about church, is it? It's about Him. It's about putting Him first. And whatever that means, is church the most important thing in a Christian's life? No, because you can make church out of anything. There are all sorts of religious things we could do to create church. It's not about church or doing some organizational activity or function. It's about the Lord, and we gather together as His body to build each other, to serve each other, to remind each other that He is alive, that He is Lord. And so we need each other. We need to gather because it's easy to forget in this world. All the stuff that was listed, the shopping, the singing. Some of you may be cooking in a slow cooker, and so you're here and it'll be done when you get back. Or you got to go back and get things started, or it's in the oven and you have to leave right now because you just remembered that. It's not about all of that stuff, but all of that stuff can cause us to forget about the one who this is all about. But I want to address the question, why are we here on Christmas? Why are we here at church on Christmas? You can't really say that Jesus is the reason for the season if you don't make Him the reason for the season, if He's not first. And this is a day for me of worship. It's a day, like I said, I have to be here because I love the Lord. And this is what He's called us to. I can't see it as an out, an opportunity to skip. Instead, I have to make a decision, a choice. Who is more important? What is more important, the tradition of Christmas or the one I celebrate? And it's an easy answer for me. And it's one that my family, my kids, they all understand and agree with. Many gifts have been given or will be given, depending on whether or not you did them already this Christmas. But in the spirit of giving, it seems appropriate that we should ask all year long. People are giving us their wish lists and we buy gifts all year long. But after Thanksgiving, maybe a little bit before that, October, we start getting Christmas ideas. What do you want? And kids are on to that. And so they start letting you know what they want. You know what I'd like for Christmas? You know what I want for Christmas? And they'll let you know. They'll give you those hints. But what about what the Lord wants? See, we're always receiving. You're the giver. You're the giver. It's better to give than to receive. But what about what he wants from us? What would bless him? Have you taken note of what Jesus wants from you maybe this Christmas? Let's look at an example of a young woman who was asked by God for something very special at the very first Christmas, before it was called Christmas. Verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. She'll call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And what she's saying is, "I'm a virgin. My husband and I, we're still just betrothed. And so how could I ever conceive?" That's the question. And the angel answered, verse 35, and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Can you imagine? We know Mary took off post-haste, very quickly, to go find out about her pregnant cousin who was barren. Because the angel said, because she was barren, so she wasn't having children. They were concerned, her and Zechariah. And the sign that the Lord gave to her that this was from the Lord and what happened was your barren cousin who never thought she would ever conceive. No one thought she would conceive. They were aged. She's with child. And she booked down there because you'd want to know, what just happened? Is this the Lord? I mean, it's an angel. Of course it's the Lord, but this is too much to take in. So she takes off. The first thing I want to talk about, why we are here on Christmas, is so that we can be his vessel. To be his vessel. To be used by the Lord for his glory. See, by saying yes, Mary's life would change forever. It would never be the same. It would never be maybe what they envisioned that it would be. You know, a normal first pregnancy, her own husband wouldn't have his first son. Because it would be the Son of God. Everything would have to be forfeited and sacrificed. This is a big, big let go here. So that God could have his way instead of them have their way. A woman whose life was pure. She found favor with God. And what's the reward? I want you to give up your plans. And I want to use you because I can use you. Wait a minute. Why wouldn't the reward be, hey, do whatever you want? That's your reward. So now, Mary has her heart challenged. And how does she respond? She says, "I am your maidservant. Do as you will." Mary indeed was a blessed woman. But that blessing came as a result of a great commitment and sacrifice in her life. You know, being here today is a sacrifice. It's Christmas. The world says this is a foolish thing to do. Why do this? It is a sacrifice. It's nothing like Mary made. But at least it's a sacrifice. And isn't that what God has called us to a life of? Sacrifice? And the sacrifices that we make, it's like he pours out such abundant blessing in our lives, such peace and joy and direction in our lives, in our hearts, that what we have within us makes what is happening outside not matter. Because we have what we need from the Lord. It is the Lord who strengthens us. It is the Lord who fulfills us. It is the Lord who gives us. And we also know by the scriptures that our reward, it's in heaven. Where moth and rust don't destroy. Where next year we won't even remember some of the gifts we got here. But in heaven we'll celebrate them for all eternity. So we're here today to be his vessel. Mary sacrificed a lot. This first child, oh, we have dreams of being president or something like that. Do some great thing. And though he does a great thing, here's what she would watch. He'd be born in a stable. There was no room for him in the inn. She would watch him grow up only to be beaten and crucified. That was his graduation. And she, well, she would have to humble herself and believe in him just like everybody else. Try that one with your child. And yet she had to do that. She had to acknowledge she was a sinner. That Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, including her. God's given us each a road. Now, some of what lies ahead of us is our own doing if there are consequences that we deal with, but God will guide us and help us. And our job is simply to be his vessel. You know, you can make mistakes in life. But what God's concerned about is not that the mistake has already been made, but how are you going to respond now that you're here? And now that you want to follow me, how are you going to respond now? Because you can go and you can confess and you can say, I'm sorry, and you can go through all the things necessary to reconcile or make things right or to do the right things. And you can do it with joy because God is with you and it is your desire to serve the Lord. Or you can continue to lie, or you can continue to make excuses. You can do other things. We have a couple of ways that we can respond to life. And no matter where we are, God gives us an opportunity to shine a light. He changes us. In whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, we can be his vessel. But see, to be a useful vessel, you must empty yourself of you. Empty yourself. Think of how Mary had to empty herself of all those plans. Mary made many good, godly decisions in her life, which is what made her available and usable for God's glory. We're here today because we want to discipline ourselves, right? To make good and godly decisions. Decisions that put God first. This is part of the decision-making process. This is part of the habit-making process. Putting him first, especially when it's difficult. Like Mary, we want to put ourselves in the right places. With the right frame of mind. With the right heart for the glory of God that we might be his vessel. But the story continues. Now we're in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Second reason we are here today on Christmas is to make time for him. To make sure that we do make quality time for him. We don't want to be like the innkeeper who on that busy day said, there's no time for you, there's no room for you here today, and thus missing Christmas. We want to make sure that as followers, as believers, we do make time. We're not here because it's Christmas. We're here because it's the Lord's Day. It's Sunday. It just happens to fall on Christmas, which gives us a choice to make, a difficult choice. And so we learn to prioritize And that's why we're here, because there is room for him in our life, in our schedule. In fact, you know what happens in the world? When things get busy, when holidays happen, when there's no time, he's often the first to go. Prayer especially is. Communication with him. That's the world's approach. Get rid of the things you can't see. But we live a life by faith, and the one who's most important is the one we can't see. And so we put him first. We make time for him. In fact, one of the reasons that God doesn't always use those who are so mighty and so great and so noble is because very often they're mighty, great, and noble because they are so busy pursuing those things. Because God gives to those that he wants to give. We don't have to busy ourselves trying to get and gain. Scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. What things? Well, he said they seek after clothes and everything, the practical things of life, the daily things, a living. They seek after it. He says, hey, look, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll give you everything you need. When we can learn to do that, it'll change our life. It'll change our priorities. It'll cause our lives to become powerful for the glory of God. Some lowly shepherds, they didn't have a whole lot in their social calendar. And so God met them. And they were used to bring the news that the Lord had come. Now, Mary and Joseph didn't have to be told that, but it's a good reminder after going through childbirth, the angel showed up and said, the Lord has been born. This is crazy. Such good news for the world. Verse 8 says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Jesus was born, Son of God. Jesus was born God, accessible to men. Not born in a palace where no one could get, not even born in the inn where it might take money to get in. But born in a place where everybody could come. Anybody could come, with or without money. It was free. It was a free gift. God made time for us. And so I think it's the least that we can do is to make time for him. In Romans, we read, we should offer our bodies up a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, pleasing to him, for this is our reasonable service, considering what he has done. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ would be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem of the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. A couple of things about the Christmas story. One, the wise men were not there at the same time the shepherds were. The shepherds had come and gone already and gone back to their place. The wise men, at the time the star appeared, began to follow the star and then showed up probably months, some say maybe even a couple of years later, but certainly at least a few months, traveling, preparing and traveling a long journey. They came later, and it says that they came not to a manger, but to a home. So at this time, they had actually made their home in Bethlehem. They decided to stay there. Let's just stay here for a time, raise up the child, and find out what we're going to do after this. But we're not going to take the trip back right now. So they actually homesteaded there. And then the Magi show up and worship. The reason that we're here today is the same reason the Magi appeared. Because they didn't want to miss Christmas. They didn't want to miss this experience. We want to experience Christmas or Christ Mass, church service that remembers the Christ story, the story of his birth, rather than miss it. As we close, I want to contrast some in the story who did miss Christmas with those who did not miss Christmas. The first who missed Christmas was the innkeeper, and the reason he missed Christmas was he was too busy. He was too busy, and so he missed Christmas. The second who missed was Herod. Let me just explain in summary. Herod was too selfish. He was concerned. I'm the king of the Jews. I don't want someone else on the throne. I want to be on the throne. And the reason that Christ needs to be out of Christmas for so many is because he represents the one who is Lord on the throne. They don't mind the parties and the pumpkin pies and all of the Christmas stuff. They probably don't even mind if you say Christmas. That's okay. But they don't want you to underline Christ in Christmas or to capitalize it or to talk about him. Because this is a holiday season, not a Christ season, as far as they're concerned. But for the Christian, it's a time to remember he is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Even though he came as a baby, he died on a cross and rose again and lives to have intercession for us that we might commune with him. The third who missed it were the religious leaders. They came and they were so close. They had all the head information. They had all the head knowledge. They were called here by Herod, and Herod said, where is he to be born? Bethlehem. He even inquired of the Magi, when did the star appear? He wanted to know when, so that he could figure out an age range, so that he could go slaughter the children that were born in that area. So he asked the question. The religious leaders had the answer. Oh, he's Bethlehem. We know all about the Messiah in their heads, but in their hearts, they were far from him. They missed Christmas.
The birth of our Savior is a beautiful and glorious event that has been celebrated throughout history. Jesus' life touched many others and continues to do so even today. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights into this momentous occasion and the extraordinary events surrounding it here on Building on the Solid Rock. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this Advent series, visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You'll also find additional messages on a variety of topics, all shared from the pages of the Word of God. You'll also learn more about the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock, as well as the church behind it, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the area, we'd love to have you join us for our weekly services. You'll find service times and directions at buildingonthesolidrock.com, and we can't wait to meet you. From all of us here on the production team, we want to say Merry Christmas. That's all the time we have for today. Join us next time for another in-depth look at God's Word right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come have